day, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, and represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information that I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to www.drcarley.com, that's drcarley.com, and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I went from being a surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases and cancer to teach people how to reverse these problems with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and do everything based on your history alone. I do not have to see you in person. Please call me at the number on my website if you would like to learn how I do consults. I ask you to consider the information I give using your own God-given common sense and discern the truth for yourself. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call. The number toll-free to call into BBS Radio is 877-270-8714. It is fine if you use only your first name, and all shows are archived. Every week I will answer the question, What Ails America, with a different response, as well as share the good news of what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet. For awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. If you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. And that is the reason that tonight's show is one of the most important that I have ever done. I have been looking for 10 years to find someone in the quote-unquote religious community who could come on one of my shows with me and explain why inoculations are a spiritual assault. And I am beyond thrilled to have as my guest tonight Dr. Jessica Wirth, an ordained minister in the Worldwide Christianship Ministries. She's been studying world religions for many years. She was ordained in 2004. And she is going to be sharing with us what I've always known but did not have the qualifications to prove to you, that inoculations are not just a physical assault on your immune system but a spiritual assault as well. So welcome to the show, Dr. Wirth. It is such a thrill to have you on with us tonight.
It is my pleasure, Rebecca, to be here with you. This is beyond words. It is an honor, and before we proceed forward, let me commend you on the work that you are doing, because it is one of great courage and one of great need. I totally agree with you when you say that the awareness of the truth is what will set us free. So feel free to ask anything that is in your mind today, Doctor.
Okay, well, to begin with, if you could share with us some of the biblical references that you've found that basically, you know, prove to the listeners that the Bible itself speaks against having inoculations. In my paper on my website, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, I described the fact that, especially now that 13 at least vaccines are actually cultured on aborted fetuses, that this is in fact cannibalism, because certainly back in the days when the Bible was written, they didn't have any clue that we would be so insane in these days that we would actually not only be inoculating people with viruses and all these toxic poisons and things of that nature, but also that they would be culturing the viruses on dead babies. And as I always explain to people, when they're preparing their witches' brews, which is basically what an inoculation is, they are not able to separate the viruses from the culture media itself. So when you're getting inoculated with the viruses, all of these substances within the tissue culture are also being inoculated into you. And as far as I'm concerned, to inject a dead baby into you is just as bad as eating a dead baby. And so that's why I referred to this practice as cannibalism. So if you would, you know, feel free to comment on that. And then if we can get right into some of the biblical scriptures that would back up the fact that inoculations are certainly not something that our Creator had in mind for us.
Absolutely. You are absolutely correct, Dr. Carley. It is evident since the beginning, since Exodus, where the Bible speaks about adultery. You know, for many years we have lived under the wrong understanding of this word. We believed for many years that adultery was something that could only be committed in a marriage or something of that nature, that it was a sexual offense. It is absolutely not a sexual offense. It has more to do with adulterating the temple, with defiling the body. And, you know, for the most part, we have been led to believe that it was a sin of the penis and ejaculation, when in actuality, it is the syringe and its inoculation.
Yes.
Yes. It's a very, very important subject, because it deals with adultery of not only the body, but the spirit also.
Yeah.
Whenever we introduce into the body things that are not natural, we are opening, if you will, a porthole for other things to enter. Demons, spiritual attacks, lunacy, many different things can come about. This whole, like, for example, mad cow, you know, the whole thing with the mad cow. Why did cows get mad when they, what caused that? Because they were being fed meat, they were being fed a food that was created from dead cows.
Yeah.
And this is that the proteins created a problem, because these animals were obvious vegetarians and were not meant to consume that or process that type of protein. And the same thing is happening nowadays with the vaccines. I trust that your studies and your researches are 100% accurate. So when you say that fetuses are being used and introduced into the body, that is a major, major violation of nature.
Yes, because as a matter of fact, let me just give the website that our listeners can go to. There's actually one website which concentrates on this very fact pretty much exclusively, and that website is www.cogforlife.org. And that stands for childrenofgodforlife.org. Now, this is a website that's put up by some Catholic individuals, and of course, their only concern is the use of aborted fetuses as culture media for the viruses. I have a problem with all tissue cultures, not just aborted fetuses. Of course, aborted fetuses are the most evil, but certainly the Creator did not want us to adulterate our holy temple with any foreign materials such as this to be inoculated directly into us. And as a matter of fact, also in my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, if you go to the references for that paper, the eighth reference, it's titled Genetic Vaccines. And this was an article that was published in Scientific American in July 1999, pages 50 to 57. And in this article, they discuss how they're now coming out with genetic vaccines where they're intentionally injecting people with plasmids of DNA. Plasmids are nothing more than circular rings of DNA. And their intention in doing this is to incorporate this foreign DNA into our very genetic structure, thereby altering our genetic structure. And I had made the conclusion that that was the true mark of the beast. But we have been discussing this, and you had another thought about the mark of the beast. And if you would please share that with our listeners, because I totally concur with what you have come up with after you explained it to me.
Well, Dr. Carley, the mark of the beast is basically a final stage, part of the final stage of what I would consider assault on humanity. Okay, it's going to be more something like iris scan, fingerprint scan. What we're talking about here with these inoculations is at the beginning of Revelations, we see that there are vials that are poured out, and these vials contain illnesses and disease that will plague mankind. And this is the beginning of sorrows, believe it or not, according to the book of Revelation. That's what that is the some of the beginning steps, some of the first steps that are going to lead to the mark of the beast. That is going to come when they basically just come out and put off the disguise of who they really are and say, you know, all right, this is what we really want. We want to control the entire world, you know, and we're going to have you to take this method of purchasing, and if you don't, well, you just won't be able to. And that's just a little too much going quite that far.
And I just want to also mention, because this is so very important, what you mentioned about it talking in Revelations about the coming plagues. And we had talked earlier this evening, and if you could discuss with our listeners the reference to the Bible about everything turned around, where evil is good and good is evil, because what's truly insane in this whole state of affairs is that what the powers that be are trying to convince people is that to protect themselves from disease, they should inoculate themselves with disease, which is totally insane. And in fact, the coming plagues are going to be caused by the inoculations. As a matter of fact, the 1918 Spanish flu was caused by inoculations given to world soldiers in World War I, as is explained in the book Vaccines, the Silent Killer by Ida Onaroff and Eleanor McBean. I've discussed that book on the show many times before. But the point is that this is also how they're going to get us into a situation where they can control us. If the listeners go to the bottom of my website, you will see a number of links to various MSNBC articles where they're talking about the bird flu vaccine, how the bird flu vaccine has already been licensed, and how they're, you know, basically ready to go. And once they find one case of the bird flu, and of course it could be created, they can just make it up. You know, we have no way of checking to make sure that somebody that gets the flu actually has the bird flu. And as soon as they have an excuse, and like I said, it can be one person that comes down with this bird flu, allegedly catching it from a bird. They will come out with this vaccine. They will start inoculating the population. They will cause the bird flu pandemic. And this will be their excuse to bring about martial law. And, of course, that's when everything that you're talking about kicks in. They're already using iris scans and fingerprint monitors and things like that. In some places, you know, they introduce this stuff to the public gradually to get them used to the idea. But it's really going to be unleashed big time as soon as they have an excuse to start spreading this bird flu vaccine and cause the pandemic.
You asked for that scripture, and here it is. It's in Isaiah 5, verse 20 to 24. And it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so shall their root be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. There is so much that speaks of these, of people such as these. You find in the fifth chapter of Galatians, it says that we should be led by the Spirit and not the flesh, because these two are contrary one to the other. It says, now that the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish abominations, dissensions, heresies, envies, murder, drunkenness, revileness, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, I want to touch on this one word of uncleanliness, idolatry, and sorcery.
Okay? Yeah.
Words are very important, because when the Bible was translated from the Greek, which this is the New Testament, so it's in Greek, the word that is used there is witchcraft. Okay, the word for witchcraft is the same as the word for sorcery, which is pharmakia.
Interesting.
Which comes from the root word pharmakon, which is where we get our pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
In the translation of this, it says that it is a medication, a magic or sorcery, a witchcraft, a drug, a spell-given potion, a druggist, a pharmacist, or a poisoner. By extent, a magician or sorcerer. This is the true sorcery. The true sorcery is defiling people with things that cause them to be sleepy, unaware. You know, nowadays you go to the doctor for a cold and you come home with 50 different medications,
yes,
none of which are going to cure the cold.
And they're looking for every opportunity they can find to label somebody with a psychiatric disorder so that they can put them on a psychiatric drug, most of which cause a chemical lobotomy. And, of course, you're not able to discern the truth and to critically evaluate information if you're on one of these mind-controlling substances. So there's so many layers to this onion. But I just want to mention, because it's so important what you said, of course, we did not learn in medical school, you know, this correlation of the word pharmakia with sorcery and witchcraft. Of course, they never, you know, mentioned the Bible in medical school. But one of the references that I have here in regards to vaccinations, they're comparing it to witchcraft. And they're actually making the statement that manufacturing of vaccines is parallel to the work of witchcraft, in that they're raising animals to later kill for the use of their blood in our tissue, and as I mentioned now, they're using dead babies for the same purpose. They're growing dangerous foreign bacteria and viruses on animal blood and tissue. They're combining the above with the most toxic substances of the earth, such as mercury, which is second only to plutonium in its toxicity to the body, as well as formaldehyde, which is a carcinogen, aluminum hydroxide, different substances which are equivalent to antifreeze, etc. And then they're inoculating all of this into the bloodstream of children, adults, pets, animals used for food sources, etc., etc. So it's totally, totally evil. And the idea that not only are they trying to pawn this idea off as a way to protect us from disease, but even, you know, trying to force children to be inoculated and telling parents that they'll be reported to the Department of Social Services if they refuse to go along with this insane practice, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, as you were speaking, Dr. Carley, one one passage of scripture comes to mind, and it's found in Romans 1:22, and it says that these people, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to their uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men committing that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, just even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. These people get turned over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all forms of unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Evil-mindedness. It has to take an evil mind to prefer a filthy lucre that a bad-made penny, a dollar, or however much amount they think they're going to get for a consultation, for injecting this toxin and defiling the body of such innocents as our children. And as you were saying that, it was brought to my memory also, you know, my daughter went through that in New York. This is not just something that I read or something that was taught to me. My daughter experienced that same thing in New York with her baby. She was threatened that if she didn't give the baby the shots, that they would take her to social services.
Yeah.
And that's you know, and I told my daughter, I says, you don't have to. I says, you know, by no means. I says, don't let them intimidate you. But,
exactly.
You know, she's a young girl. She's scared. And to all of you that are scared out there and don't know what to do, know this, that we are responsible for our bodies.
Yeah.
And we are admonished by the Word of God and by common sense to study, to educate ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says it, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
And we must protect our children. I mean, this is, we were given our children as a gift. They are, you know, ours only to bring up. They belong to the Creator, but it's our job to protect them and to keep them safe from harm. And when the medical mafia starts coming after them and telling you, as a matter of fact, in 1993, there was a New York judge that actually ruled the failure to immunize a preschool child constitutes child abuse. And this is why it's been disgusting for me for so long, the fact that the churches are not getting involved with this. The only church that officially has a view against vaccinations, as far as I know, is the Christian Scientists. And a lot of people, you know, don't want to become Christian Scientists just to get a vaccine exemption, and so they will therefore go ahead and get their children inoculated with disease. And my response to that is, you know, you're sacrificing your children. They can die from those inoculations. They can be maimed. They can get chronic disease. You are actually sacrificing your children to the Church of Modern Day Medicine. And people have to stand up for the truth. They have to stand up for their children. And they have to, as you said, check the facts out for themselves. The information is in the Bible. And I'm so grateful to have found you, that you're the only spiritual leader that I have ever found who was willing to actually come on the air and discuss this with me. As a matter of fact, one of my clients in Syracuse, New York, who happens to be a Catholic, came on the show some time back and actually was telling our listeners that in her church, they had a flu vaccine clinic right in the church. How insane is that?
it's that lack of knowledge that we're talking about. You know, a lot of people, I feel for them, a lot of people just do not take the time to research the Bible in take time in prayer and really read what it says.
Yes.
Because here in Ephesians 6, a lot of people have heard this passage of Scripture, and I guarantee you that nobody has ever put two and two together. But it says here, in it really, it just shocks me, because it says that this armor is designed to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And it talks here, I'll read it to you, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one."
Wow. And, of course, the fiery darts could very well be referring to the hypodermic syringes of the white coats.
Of course. It pierces the skin.
Yeah.
And it delivers so much into the body, into the spirit. It comes from the powers of darkness. There is absolutely no way that the Bible teaches that light and darkness have absolutely no fellowship.
Yeah.
Okay? And this is just a metaphor that gives us a little bit to think about. Also, life and death have no fellowship. You cannot have a corpse in your house, because after a couple of days, that's going to start to stink. And you cannot have anything in your living body that is not also alive and that is not part of your own body. Well, you as a doctor know that the immune system is very zealous. It'll reject anything and everything that is not of its own.
Yes.
So I can totally see, you know, I'm not a doctor like you are, but I can totally see how all of this would cause an autoimmune problem, because you're injecting stuff into the body that really does not belong there.
Exactly. And the mechanism whereby inoculations cause autoimmune disease is described in my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. And my response to the CDC, that's also on my website, is where I went back into the medical books themselves and found proof that what they're doing is changing the name of the diseases caused by vaccines. For example, autism, which is a demyelination problem caused by antibodies against the measles virus, which actually attack the myelin, which is a sheath around the nerves. They changed the name of that disease from subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. So this goes to show their evil intent. They know very well what they're doing, and they're causing these chronic diseases on purpose, because, of course, then pharmakia, you know, the sorcerers can develop all of their pharmaceutical drugs to allegedly treat the symptoms of your disease. But what they're actually doing is giving you more poisons and just bringing you farther down that road to death and destruction. And one of the main purposes of all of this is population reduction. They believe there's too many people on the earth, and they're intentionally decreasing the population. They can't kill everybody, you know, outright, because that would be too obvious. So what they're doing is making people sick.
I love the way that that the Bible is worded. Really, I do, because here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 9, you find the following scripture. It says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Pierced. I love the fact that all of these words are penetrating the flesh, really. And I hope that we can provide you tonight with enough truth to penetrate your spirit and penetrate your mind and penetrate your senses to the reality of this. Yeah. Because it's out there, it's real. And yes, they're doing it for population reduction. Yes, they're doing it for money. Whatever their motivation is, it is not to extend or expand life. And how do we know that it's from an enemy source? Which, you know, we were talking earlier, the devil, the enemy, the adversary. How do we know that it's from a source of darkness? How do we know that it's not God-friendly? Because anything that kills, steals, or destroys is not godly.
And as you were saying when we started the program, this whole idea of adultery, when you were talking with me about that earlier in the week, talk about Ford light going off in my brain, that was so obvious to me that, yes, in fact, they are not just talking about sexual relations between unmarried people. They're talking about the adulteration of our very genetic structure. The Creator gave us our immune system to protect us from disease. And if we get exposed to a bacteria or a virus, the way our immune system is designed, we develop lifelong natural immunity. And that is the reason that we're supposed to keep our temple clean, because if your body is not filled with toxins, and especially if you also alkalinize yourself and do other things that I talk about on this show, your immune system is going to be able to handle any pathogen that comes into it. And so the idea that the Creator would be behind something like this, inoculating ourselves with all of these poisons, and especially aborted fetuses, is so totally insane. And as I said, this is the reason I have been frustrated for 10 years trying to find some spiritual leader, a pastor, a priest, anyone who would come on the show and talk about the fact that this is indeed a spiritual assault. And, of course, what I realized is that as the churches become 501c3s and therefore they're tax exempt, one of these specifications that they must follow in order to maintain that tax exempt status is that they're not allowed to speak about anything that the government doesn't want them to speak about. And obviously, the government has an agenda wanting to inoculate us with disease. This is becoming extremely obvious with the soldiers who are getting inoculated with smallpox and anthrax and all kinds of crazy things, even though Saddam didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. But yet the church leaders are either filled with fear or they've been totally corrupted. And we've talked about Masons on this show before, and of course there are religious Masons, just like there's medical Masons. These are the people who have a very dark agenda, and as all of them come together and protect each other and push these very toxic things, especially inoculations, it's becoming very obvious to those who do have the ability to discern the truth and check things out for themselves that there is something going on here. There is a conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's a reality.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible speaks on many. I mean, there's so many to mention, and some that are so familiar that we have heard them so many times. They are, you know, we know that in Scripture, just hearing the wolf in sheep's clothing, okay, these are the, then you have the people that Jesus himself, you know, says that in that day they will come to me and they will say, well, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name, and didn't we heal the sick, and didn't we do this and do that in your name? And then Jesus comes and he says, depart from me, workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You have no part with me. Why? Because you are not feeding the sheep. What does it mean to feed the sheep? To give them sound doctrine.
Yeah.
Sound knowledge. To stay current with the times. The perils that were there when I was a child are no longer there now. Today, there are different perils. You know, when I have my children, and when my children were little, you know, there were things, you know, you would try to keep them from sticking their fingers in the socket, which, you know, that peril is there. But as children grow, and now I have my granddaughter, you know, perils are different. The dangers are different. And as pastors, as leaders, as preachers, as whatever, as human beings, you know, as our brother's keeper, we should keep our eyes open in our ears, in our hearts, in our minds to receive knowledge and understanding and whatever wisdom God in his mighty universe wants to bestow upon us to keep us current on the dangers that threaten our existence this day. Not what happened 2,000 years ago, you stumbled on a rock. We have pavement now. It's time that, and I challenge you, if you're a spiritual leader, I challenge you like Jesus spoke to Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter stands there and he says, yes, Lord. And he says, feed my sheep. And again he asks, Peter, do you love me? If you profess to love the Lord, show it with action. Because the only way that we can show love is with an action of love. To protect our fellow man. To enhance the quality of life. To enlighten. To educate. To love. To heal. Not to destroy. What? For what? For a penny? For a dollar? For something that can be easily taken away? Why will we build our treasure where moth and dust corrupt, where the thief can come in and steal? Why will we not build our treasure rather in the spiritual realm when we seek God's kingdom of love and truth and mercy and light and enlightenment and all these things that are good, long suffering and joy and all the good things of life, then none of us would lack for anything. You know, just be strong, be bold, and join in with the war. Because I'll tell you one thing, you're not going to be able to go up. You know, if you believe in the proverbial heaven, you're not going to be able to go up and say, well, I just didn't know. Because if you're reading the same book I'm reading out of, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him come to me and ask, and I will give him without measure.
And we are in a spiritual war. That's very important, what you mentioned. I speak about this all the time. We are in a battle of good versus evil. It's becoming more and more self-evident all the time. And as a matter of fact, just this past week, I actually had one of my clients, and I'm hoping that the mother will call in tonight. I have a young man that's a client who believed he had to get a meningitis vaccine to go to college. And in fact, he did get the meningitis vaccine, and he had such a severe reaction, he was actually not able to breathe. And for 2 years, this young man has been very, very ill. He's actually pretty much bedridden at this point. His mother just contacted me a few weeks ago, and we've been trying to get him started on my detoxification protocol. But in this young man's case, his mother was convinced, and from what she had described to me, I was also convinced that not only was this young man inoculated with all the things that we've described, you know, the bacteria and the poisons and the witch's brew, but this young man was actually inoculated Hello. With a demon. And his mother actually had to find a spiritual assistance this week. Someone came to her house and started going through certain ceremonies with this young man to get the demon out of him, because the demon was actually causing anything that they tried to have the exact opposite effect. And he was becoming very, very ill. They even had to bring him to the hospital at one point to get hydrated, because he became so dehydrated, they were afraid he was going to die. And I'm hoping that mom will call in. I spoke to her earlier, and she said that she would. But this was a very important case for me, because I've realized for a long time that these inoculations, as you said, are opening up all kinds of doorways. But this is the first time I've had a case where I'm sure that there was actually not only a spiritual assault, but that there was actually a demon injected into this child, as well as all the other poisons in the inoculations. And if this sounds far out to you, listeners, I suggest that you do go to the Bible and read about it, because isn't it, in fact, true, Dr. Wirth, that they talk about Jesus casting out demons?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
And do we have our caller on the line?
Yes, yes. I'm the caller that you just referenced with the son, so I am...
Oh, thank you so much. Please speak up. Yes, if you could. I'm so grateful that you called in. Can you just tell us a little bit about what happened with your son?
Sure, sure. Let me just give a little quick background. My son was very, very healthy, set to go to college in August of 2006. And 2 weeks before he went to college, he went in to... speak with a doctor regarding the meningitis vaccine. And this was at a very large institution and a center known as the Center of Integrative Medicine. And one of the specific reasons we went to that particular center was because they do integrate Eastern and Western medicine, and we were hopeful that we would have a more objective viewpoint. We sat and talked with the doctor and gave him my son's history, and I made it very clear that I was uncomfortable having him get this vaccine simply because I thought my son's immune system was compromised, having been asthmatic for a number of years. And the doctor got quite upset with my posture, and I said, well, if you're going to do anything, let's just do 1/8 of a dose. We'll be back in 3 to 6 months, and we'll see how he reacts to that, because I'm not comfortable doing a full dose. Well, then the doctor turned to my son and used the fear of God tactic and said, how would you like to not go to class one morning, and you wake up, your roommate goes on to class, you decide to remain in bed, you start getting flu-like symptoms, you start aching all over. By the time your roommate comes back from class later on the day, you're dead. So you can imagine the fear of God that put in my son. I then walked out of the office, and I spoke with my son and said, you know, I'm really uncomfortable. He said, Mom, I do not want to die. I said, I don't think you will. He said, well, I really want to go ahead with this. I want to be protected. 6 hours later, we are sitting at home having terrible muscle spasms, throat tightening, ribs tightening, lungs tightening, symptoms that my son never demonstrated before. And when we called the doctor and told him that, he said, well, you can go to the ER room. It's an allergic reaction. It had nothing to do with his shot today. So our health journey has taken us over the past 11 months to many different doctors, both conventional and finally turning wise to turn to alternative therapies, because we were in three different hospital settings with all three agreeing that everything was psychological with my son, that he had no physical damage to his body. And yet he continued having neurological symptoms because the vaccine actually damaged the autonomic nervous system at the cellular membrane level.
If I could just interrupt you to highlight what you just said, because this is what they always do. And when you told me that even a doctor who was in your church tried to lay this line of BS on you, that it was all in your son's head. Now, the whole idea that he's afraid and that this is a psychological problem that he's having, that he's afraid he's not going to be able to breathe, And as you know, what I said to you is, well, where is his fear coming from? His fear is coming from the fact that after he got the inoculation, he couldn't breathe. So it's not that this is a psychiatric problem. His fear is from what happened to him.
It wasn't at all, Doctor. The psychological manifestation of any emotion came directly from the physical response of what was attacked on his body.
Exactly.
And that's what I kept trying. And that's what I kept trying to make every doctor understand. As we proceeded through a number of different alternative treatments, and unfortunately found that we were not getting better, getting worse. I obviously found out through my extensive networking about you, Dr. Carley, and was thrilled to learn of the protocol that specifically is dedicated to each individual's history of their background and vaccine history. We were delighted to have been in receipt of that protocol, but then unfortunately my son's condition deteriorated in terms of his hypersensitivity that he was unable to take the protocol. What was most interesting to my husband and I through this process, particularly within the last 30 to 45 days, is that it seems like that when he had a number of these attacks, we noticed a more severe manifestation of neurological symptoms with kind of roaring in his voice, a mad face on a couple times, neurological symptoms that we never, ever had seen in our son. And our son, I will tell you, all of you in the listening audience, is a deeply, deeply spiritual individual. And the more
I just want to also mention the rolling of the tongue, because that's a very important one. I don't know how many of the listeners have seen the movie The Exorcist, which, of course, is a movie, but it's actually demonstrating the case of somebody who had this demon possession, and this is one of the things that happens in those cases.
And it really hit home to me extremely hard when we had a very, very strong Christian person come into our home to pray and work with Scotty, and when they came into the home, literally within 15 minutes, my son fell out of the chair and went into a very dramatic attack. He had not had anything to eat or had not had any medication or anything that would have caused that type of reaction. And then the more when he was down on the floor and was going through his neurological symptoms and spasms and things, and the more this Christian individual spoke and prayed real loudly, the worse his symptoms got. And I
because obviously the demon did not like what was going on.
Not at all. Not at all. So I ended up having to have this wonderful Christian person step out of the home because it was the only way that I could get the reduction of the incidences that were going on with the reaction. And so finally, 20 minutes later, when I was able to get him settled down and have him go back in and sit down, and I had the very strong Christian counselor come back into the home and start reading Psalm 91 and praying, my son's throat started to close again. The exact same thing when he had been totally calmed down and he had done nothing and the throat was starting to close. And I had to again ask her, and she kept saying, I think this is your son's fear. And I said, no, it's not totally fear. I said, I think this is demonic. And she said, well, I've never in my 17 years seen this before. I said, well, I'm sure you probably haven't. And she said, well, where did the demonic influence come from? I said, directly from the influence of the vaccine. I said, our son is a deeply spiritual man. And I said, come out and look at what we have in the kitchen. We've always had a sign up that's saying how the strength of our son will be able to allow him to withstand the spiritual warfare that was against him. Because the deeper he has grown in the Word over this past year, deeply spiritually, the more we knew that his symptoms were not totally just physical manifestation of the damage of the vaccine directly, physically. We knew there had to be an outside energetic force, so I started doing my research. I contacted an individual who actually knew of an individual who energetically is able to help remove a lot of these outside influences. And when this man started to work with our son, he himself felt like he was getting physically sick, had to get on the phone and call three other spiritual leaders that he knew to also help in this campaign, because he said, whatever this is demonic, he said, your son's going to do something great spiritually someday, because this attack is a full-blown war against him.
Yes, and I'm convinced that the reason he is being attacked to the degree that he is because, you know, the Creator knows what his purpose is, and I'm sure that his purpose is a very important purpose. And if you could just tell the listeners, what is the name of this particular type of spiritual therapy that you were finally able to find for your son?
Sure. I actually went online, and it was called Spiritual Response Therapy. And I hadn't even heard of it, to be honest, Dr. Carley, but I just did some research online, and you can actually go online to Spiritual Response Therapy, and it will actually give you some background of the type of therapy, and there are people all across the country. You do not have to see people face-to-face, but you can get a hold of these people who work in this area. They will help remove. I went through a two-part process. They will help you, first of all, understand and try to identify where spiritual blocks and influences may be. And so I had one person work. There's one individual has a website called heavenlyworker.com. And her name is Annie Kaufman. She is a nurse by background, but a great SRT practitioner. And what they do is they will actually have you do a questionnaire and talk and try to discern what the outside spiritual influence is. And then after you have a person work in that area, then within 24 hours, I had someone come into the home after the first part of the work was done and do heavy energetic spiritual removal with our son, and we have seen a dramatic difference in the terms of the type of reactions. We have not had one yet. Certainly since we've had these people come in.
And I'm just curious. I have to take my hat off to you. I have never seen anyone who's done more for her son. This woman has lived for the last whatever 18 months, and I'm so glad that you found me. But of course, we have to deal with all these other issues first before you can do the protocol. But in your speaking to these individuals with expertise in this area, have they told you about any other cases where this happened because of an inoculation?
It's been a real educational process. Just the opposite way, where I have done most of the education, and as a result of my speaking out, next month I've been asked to speak in our community where I reside. I've had a pediatric ophthalmologist ask me to come in and speak with his peers,
yes,
which will be a group of about 60 pediatricians regarding adverse vaccine reactions. But for the most part, even going back to what you referenced earlier, Dr. Carley, the real disappointment, even within my own congregation, here are people who say they are pro-life. I have had to educate them to help them understand about aborted fetuses that are in vaccines, and they look at me like I have three eyes, and I said, read the paper, read the research. And then I tell these people, you know, you keep saying, I've had two members of my own congregation tell me and come to the house, as you said, that have said, we believe this is all psychological. Even on the night we were taking our son to the emergency room, I had a doctor calling me from my congregation saying, you're going to the wrong hospital because you really need to be going to the psychological end of the hospital for your son. And so I am determined. I am determined. I know God's purpose in this for myself and my son out of this. I am determined to educate. And I'm starting at home. And so I'm starting in my own small community where I can, in the medical community. I'm trying to get people to network. As you know, Dr. Carley, I've had a couple of people call you. That's the only way that we're going to be able to have the public understand know, what is being done to our bodies and what's being done to our kids' bodies. I have since gone back to the institution that has given our son the inoculation. I am writing and this was in a university environment, medical setting, and I am writing to the Board of Trustees. I'm writing to the President of the University. I'm going to educate. I have told them what they need to do in terms of having tapes and videos, educating students. If they choose to make those kind of choices, they need to be educated first on understanding what they're getting into. They need to understand the numbers. They need to understand the real facts. And so,
yeah,
you know, in an educational setting, in an educational way, I'm going to try to get out to the university level, really, because when you look across our country and look at the number of states right now that are trying to mandate that they get this meningitis vaccine on every state, Texas has a proposal right now that they are mandating that every individual who goes to college at a private or public institution must have this vaccine. And it is absolutely ridiculous when you look at the numbers. It's ludicrous, and it has to be stopped. And the only way you can stop it is through education.
Yes, and I want to thank you for everything you've done. As a matter of fact, the pediatric ophthalmologist that you spoke of has called me, and he told me that he's coming to my seminar that I'm giving the first weekend in August in Pittsburgh, where I'm going to be the keynote speaker at the Pennsylvania Natural Living Conference. And, of course, you're correct. The only way that we're going to stop this Holocaust on the health of humans and animals is to get the information out there. And there's nobody that I know, you know, as far as a layperson that's doing more than you are. And I want to thank you so much for not only what you've done for your son, but for what you're doing for everyone by your, you know, educating yourself and helping to spread the word. So we're almost out of time, but I want to thank you so much. You've given an invaluable contribution to the show. As you know, I care very deeply about your family. I will do anything I can to help. And your family has taught me something. I've always known intuitively that this was a spiritual assault, but because of this case with your son, we now have an actual case. And I'm sorry that he has had to suffer as he suffered, but just like Christ had to suffer, you know, many people are suffering now, but this suffering is going to spread a light, to shine a light and make the truth so obvious that these people are going to have to stop what they're doing.
Oh, it is. There's not a doubt in my mind, Dr. Carley, and keep up everything that you're doing. And, you know, our son is far from out of the woods. He's quite ill. But you know what? He will get better. We have faith that
he will be healed.
He will get better, and the works that he will do out of this will be dramatic.
Oh, yes. And once again, thank you so much for calling.
Sure.
And Dr. Wirth, we only have a couple minutes left, but can you comment on this very amazing case?
Absolutely. I feel like you. I'm appalled that she's having to go through all this, and I'm appalled that nobody, that she had to go outside of her own church to get help.
Yeah.
When that's what our calling is, to get rid of this stuff. According to Mark 16, it says that we can do this and feel free to do that. You know, well, not to allow anything like that to come into your body is the first step. But I would say in closing to you, physicians, I read out of Job 13, but for you, forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. To everyone else, to the listeners, I'd say, I honor that place in you that is of love, of light, of wisdom, and of truth. When you are in that place in you, and I am in that place in me, we are one. So let's come to that place in the universe where the truth and light dwells, and let's come together as one so we can extinguish this devouring fire.
Amen. And that is what the term namaste means, that I always open my show with. So God bless you so much, Dr. Wirth. I'm so thrilled to have found you and to be working with you now. And together, all of us, we will shine the light of truth on this horrific practice, and the truth shall set us free. So I hope all of you listeners will tell others to listen to the archives of this very important show. I encourage you to stay tuned every week, where we will be discussing what ails America, but also what we can do to heal America. And unfortunately, I'm very ashamed of my profession, because as it turns out, the main thing we need to do to heal America is to stop going to the white coats. And it's really not funny how that's working out. So thank you again for being a guest on the show. I'm sure we'll have you back on again. And keep up the great work. And I hope someday that you will have your own church, and that you certainly will have the spiritual documentation, so that the people of faith in this country can stand up to their doctors, their schools, and all of these other minions that are trying to force this insane practice on the people and just say no.
Amen to that.
Okay, have a great night, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.